First five verses, reading from the New Living Translation, may be familiar to you. It doesn't matter if it's not, but Jesus talking about our connection with him. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. May God bless us as we consider this as part of our communion service today. I don't know if it sounds to you like it does to me as a sort of mesmerizing, but it's nothing to do with that. Mesmerar. And we get this word appearing a few times in the Old Testament. That's where we get the Hebrew word. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4 says they were to do something with their swords, put their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword. And in Isaiah later on, in chapter 18 of verse 5, it says, in the flower he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. Can you guess what mesmerar means? Which one of these words? And Joel chapter 3 and verse 10 sounds a bit familiar. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I. And Micah 4, verse 3, these are in translations that are less familiar to me, but it says, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up. What on earth am I talking about? Which word am I talking about? Which do you think it is? Is there a common word that has come up in each of those verses? Pruning hooks, you think? Yeah, so there was a cutting, pruning element, and why wouldn't there be, since I've picked the John 15 for our scripture reading? Yes, indeed. In these translations, pruning hooks seems to be a good kind of way of referencing or translating mesmerar, because it is a hooked knife that they would use in their pruning and trimming. And maybe some of you know of this kind of knife. We tend not to use knives nowadays when we're doing pruning. Anyone do any pruning? And what do you use for pruning nowadays? Yeah, some nice little sprung secateurs and pruning things, all sort of similar action or different shape blade a little bit. But makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? Just the snip, 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 and we can go at quite a speed. The Greek word I want to introduce you to is drepanon. Now, we didn't say the first word, and what was the first word in Hebrew? Mesmerar. Can you say that? Mesmerar. There you go. Speaking in different languages. Mesmerar is the pruning hook or a knife. And drepanon. Drepanon is the Greek word. And we find that in Mark. I won't read through these ones, but Mark chapter 4, verse 29. And then seven times, through Revelation chapter 14. And each time it might be in your translation, especially in Revelation, translated, well, I don't know, has anyone quickly got there? Revelation, let's just stick with Revelation chapter 14. Quickly flick your Bibles, because it's right at the back, so it's easy book to find. Revelation chapter 14, and in verses 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and in fact twice in verse 18. Anyone shout out what your translation says and uses as a reference of something like a pruning hook, something like secateurs? What have you got? You've got a sickle. Anyone got something different? Yeah. Sickle as well. Okay, thank you. That's a good translation for what they would have understood in the meaning, the tools available at the time and so on. So whether it's a pruning hook or a sickle, we get this idea of something used for pruning. Are we together so far? Right, where am I going with this? Why do we prune branches? Dare I use this reference? Any budding gardeners here? Oh, that was a really tame one, wasn't it? Any budding gardeners here? Why do we use pruning hooks or sickles or whatever? Why do we prune branches?
The roses were nicely pruned.
To encourage growth. To encourage growth. Wow, we went straight there. Now, sometimes it's a bit overgrown and we don't want the growth there. Sometimes it's not really working well and we want to cut that out in order for this other new growth to come. To encourage growth is definitely one of the options for why we prune. Trees, bushes, shrubs, whatever, plants have a limited amount of resources. So what do they want to do with that resource? They push it up through their roots and the system, and it pretty much gets evenly distributed across the plant. So if something's not producing fruit like it needs to, what can a gardener do? So nice and simple, because I have done this and I can speak from experience, and maybe some of you have grown tomatoes, not big plants, although they can grow quite big. My mother-in-law grows tomatoes in our greenhouse, and they're like growing up above my head. I've never grown them that big, but I mean the plants, not the tomatoes themselves. So what do we do with the tomato plants? When it comes up, then you get the shoots, the leaves coming out, and then you get something between the stem and the leaf. Now, I've been taught...
Pinch out the suckers.
You just prick them out, don't you? You know, we don't really need pruning hooks and sickles for this, do we? But we take that out. Why do we take it out? To direct the resources in that plant, the nourishment that it's getting, to get through to the fruit. That's what we want to grow, isn't it? We don't want loads of leaf. We want some fruit. But with trees and plants, we can cut them and prune them and train them in a way that they will grow to produce the fruit that we want. Pruning can be to cut out unfruitful growth. The hindering of the growth so that other things that are producing can produce more. Pruning allows redirected growth. So what's the simple application for us in our lives? Your life in God is a branch. Did you pick that up from the scripture reading? John chapter 15. He is the vine, we are the branches. So in Jesus, we are a branch, each one of us. How well is your growth? How well are you growing? Do you need a little bit of pruning here and there? Or does God the gardener need to come along and cut you right out? Because there were two kinds of cutting from our scripture reading. Did you notice it? Two kinds of cutting. And if I go back to my scripture reading and my page here, where does it say? Which verse was it? He prunes the branches that do not bear fruit. This is back at the end of verse 2. He prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. And the beginning of that verse, John 15, verse 2, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So did you notice there's two kinds of cutting? What are those two kinds of cutting? There's a cutting off completely. That branch is no longer part of the vine. Or there's a remaining in, but a trimming of a kind of branch. Both receive the action of the cutting implement. One, because it's not producing anything and it needs to be got rid of. The other, because it's producing, but a little bit of training here and there will help it produce even more. So when God comes along to you and your life, how much cutting needs to take place? You see, when God comes along, and I'm going to assume that all of us here are the second kind, that we need a little trimming rather than a cutting out. I'm not looking for shows of hands or admissions. This isn't that kind of testimonial type of affair here. But as God comes along and trims in our lives, what can that seem like? Now, I've had a few different shrubs at home and different places that we've lived. And I can't say that I'm a good gardener. You know, I like to have a go. And I can't say that I look at shrubs and then I look it up in a book because I don't know the shrubs. And then I find out what time of the year and how to trim it and whether it needs a good trim or a little trim and so on. I'm a little bit sort of gung-ho with it. And if it looks as though it needs to be removed, I just snip, 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 snip. And there has been a couple of occasions where this rather overgrown shrub looks like a couple of sticks in the ground by the time I've finished with it. And occasions where my wife has come out to me and she said, have you killed it? And I've looked at it and I'm thinking, maybe I have, maybe I've gone a little bit overboard. But fortunately for me, each time this particular shrubs have absolutely loved it. You trim it right back and it just bounces, springs out of the ground. It comes back with a vengeance. I wish I could say the same for my hair, but never mind, there's a lot missing. But when you do the trimming, and this time of year, and maybe some of you are venturing into the garden and looking at when do I need to trim this tree or shrub and so on. But when you do the trimming, it can look like loss. It really can. Have you ever done trimming like that in your garden? It can look like loss. You will experience what appears to be loss in your life from time to time. But maybe sometimes that experience of loss is just an opportunity for further growth. let you think about that one. Maybe your experience of loss is an opportunity for growth. Some things we think are available to us for the rest of our lives, and then suddenly they're not. Some things that we've been working hard for suddenly get taken away from us, and we've not had that experience of joy and participation in something, whatever it is that we've been saving up for. Things can seem to just disappear, be taken from us. But that which might seem to be loss might also be the opportunity that God is having to grow something new in our lives. The purpose of pruning appears to be loss, but it's actually quite the opposite. Make space to bear fruit in your lives, because that is what we should be doing. And even if we are bearing fruit, sometimes, as we've read, God needs to come along and trim here, trim there. Why? So that we can bear even more fruit. Our loss is not to harm us or the vine. Our loss is to produce more. Even pruning is to cause you to become what you were made to be. So don't dwell on what was or is no more. Dwell on what is to come. The purposes of God. The fruit that is to come. The mesmerar, God's pruning hook, only touches the branch that he cares for. Other branches just get cut out completely. God comes along and he prunes things in our lives, so that we can be more productive, so that we can contribute more beneficially. And that cutting is to allow or cause or enable us to be more fruitful. There's a couple of references in Scripture, one in Psalms, and then I'll come back to this John 15 one. Psalm 92 gives a reference to even in old age they will still produce fruit. Now, I'm not here to talk about older people. I'm just here to say it doesn't matter what stage of life that we are in. We don't have this seasonal change. That we, whoever we are, wherever we're at, have this opportunity to be available to God, to come and trim here and trim there, so that we can be fruit producers. John 15, coming back to our scripture reading. We are part of God's vine, part of God's family. And a few weeks ago, maybe you can stretch your memory back a little bit and recall that I talked a little bit of us searching for lost family members. Maybe there are some others out there that need to be grafted into the vine. Whatever it is, let's not be afraid when we experience loss, or what we think of as loss in our lives. Maybe it's just God making room for something else to happen in our lives so that we can be more fruitful for him. May God bless us as we consider God's work in our lives, as he prunes us and trains us and prepares us.